Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm a local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. We encourage you to come and look at it. We have this radio programs and MP3 files. We have a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study and understanding of God's Word. Please give a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you in any and all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. We want you just to come and study God's Word with us so that we can show you your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Beginning in the first of this month, we have been examining the pattern of salvation throughout history. And we are looking at different examples of obedient faith that are examples of instruction of salvation. We have seen that man sins. We have seen that God's grace is extended to him. And then we see man's faith in his obedience to God's instruction in order to obtain the thing that is desired. Today, we want to look at the falling of the walls of Jericho. God's people are now getting ready to go into the promised land. This is the second promise that God made to Abraham. And before they go into the land of conquest, they have to go out and check out the land. And Joshua does that by sending two men as spies to go into the land and to spy out the land. And then when the report comes back, then the instruction is given on how to take Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, we see that this is the instruction that God gave Joshua to take the land of Jericho. Now Jericho was secretly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast from the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." Then Joshua said, the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take out the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord." And they said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpet, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them, and the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout, then you shall shout." Now, Joshua was given these instructions to take the first city in the land of conquest, in the land of Canaan, the city of Jericho. Now, that city would be pivotal in the first battle for the confidence of the children of Israel to show that God was with them, and also to know, for God to know, if they had learned anything watching the first generation dying and their carcasses fall during the 40 years of wandering, if they were going to do better than their forefathers had. And so God gives this simplistic instruction in how to take this mighty city. This mighty city had 2 walls, inner and outer walls. They were very thick and very high, and they were a security provision that the city had. But yet, God tells Joshua to take the city you march around the walls once a day with the Ark of the Covenant and the priest and speak nothing, say nothing. Do it one time a day for 6 days. And then on the sixth day, you march around it seven times. On the seventh day, you march around it on seven times on the seventh day. And then you shout. And when you shout and blow the trumpet, the walls will fall flat down and you can walk right in and take the city straightway. Now, why would be the only reason that any intelligent person would think that they could take a mighty city without firing a shot by simply walking around the walls of the city? Why would anyone go and follow those instructions? Because those instructions came from God. Those were God's instructions for taking the city. Now, God was going to fulfill the promise that he had made to Abraham by giving them a land. And the first step in taking the land was to take Jericho. And so God gives a battle plan for Jericho. His grace is, you notice he says to Joshua in verse 2, see, I've given you the land. It's a done deal, but do they have to do anything? Is there anything that they have to do in order to receive God's grace of receiving the city? Yes, they have to march around the city one time a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, they have to march around it seven times. Again, that's God's stipulation. That is God's instruction in order for the city to be delivered into their hands. And if you read Joshua chapter 6, that's exactly what they do. And on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times. They blew the trumpets. They shouted, and the walls fell down, and they walked into the city and took the city without firing a shot. And it was done exactly like God's instruction. Now again, there is a pattern here. There is a pattern. God gives the instruction. Jericho is going to be taken. God's grace is going to extend it to them. All they have to do is be obedient by following the instruction. And then when they follow God's instruction, the wall falls and they take the city. Now again, here is our pattern. Once again, we see the pattern of salvation. Man sins. He did, and that's why they wandered for 40 years. Then God extends grace to the second generation. And man's faith is demonstrated by obedience to the instruction that God gives him. He gave him the instruction of how to take Jericho. And then when they fulfilled their requirement, the instruction that God gives, then God saves them, just like in our other examples, just like he did Noah, just like he did Abraham, just like he did the Israelites in the Passover and saving from the firstborn and crossing the Red Sea, and now in taking the city of Jericho. The same pattern is seen. The same pattern of salvation is seen, and again, we see it fulfilled in the Word of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in Romans 15, verse 4, that those things written aforetime were written for our learning. We learn things by looking at these patterns and looking at these principles of Old Testament and these examples of Old Testament character. And what we see is a pattern. Man sins. He's in need of God's grace. God gives instruction. Man is obedient to that instruction, and then God saves him according to what he had promised him. God speaks. Man listens. Man obeys. God saves. It is a pattern that is consistent in the patriarchal age, in the Mosaic age, and in the Christian age. It is a pattern. It is a pattern of salvation, and it must be accepted and must be done according to that pattern if man is going to be a recipient of God's salvation. It's so simple. It's so clear. Why do men fight the simple instructions and guidelines of God? We're not earning it. We're not meriting it. We're not obligating God. We're demonstrating our faith. We're showing him our love, and we're being obedient to his instruction because we trust him, we love him, thus we obey him. It is simple if we would just follow that pattern. We will look at some more of these examples, a few more, in the beginning of the new year. I want to take this opportunity, since this is the last Sunday of 2019, I would like to take this time, first and foremost, to thank you for listening to this broadcast on Sunday morning. I know that you could be doing other things. I know you could be listening to other things. And you took the time to listen to these broadcasts, and I want you to know that I deeply, as a minister here of the Harrisburg Church of Christ, on behalf of the church here, I want you to know that I appreciate your willingness to listen and to give consideration to the things that you've heard. But, ladies and gentlemen, we also want to be fair and upright that we have said many things through this year that I know many of you religious people out there listening do not agree with, that you believe is contrary and is contrary to what you do and what you practice. And yet, you don't think it really matters because I don't hear from you. You just think, well, that's my opinion and that's the way we do things in the Church of Christ, and that way is good for us, and the way that you do it is good for you. But if you have that understanding, then you've missed the whole purpose of these lessons throughout the year. Because I believe, by the teaching of the Bible, that it matters what you do in religion. It matters what you practice. It matters how you handle the Word of God. The Bible tells us that we're to rightly divide the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. It says in Colossians 3:17 that whatever we do in word or deed, we must do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means we must have his authority and his approval for what we do. And according to the Bible, that we must be obedient in order to receive salvation. The Bible says he is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. That is God's teaching. That's in God's book. And throughout this year and every year that I've done this, in the end of the ninth year of me doing this, I'm beginning my 10th year back in September. But what I've tried to do in all these years is to give you a book, a chapter, and a verse for why we do, why we believe, what we practice, and what we call upon you to do in order to have a relationship with the Son of God who lived and died for you to have salvation, to be the remedy for sin, to give us redemption and forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. And throughout this year, we have tried to show you through the pages of God's Word. We have not used any other books. We don't have any theology. We don't have a philosophy. We don't have a creed. We only have the Bible. That is the only book that matters. That is the only instruction that matters. And we hope and pray that you have seen that we have consistently, throughout 2019, tried to give you God's answers for the things that we have taught and that we have concluded on this program. At this time, we want to wish you the happiest of 2020, and we hope that you'll continue listening to us in the new year. And please, if you have any comment, if you need clarification, if you want further study, please do not hesitate to call us. We will sit down with you with an open Bible and an open mind and open up the pages of life in order to have a relationship.